Welcome to 2006. I learned a little bit about crowd control and snacks during that transfer. I won't make that mistake again. Well, we'll have snacks. We'll just figure out how to do it a little more efficiently. All you hungry bears.
It's a good mistake to make, though.
Yeah, if you're gonna make a mistake, have it involve food as much as possible. There's a text on the back of your nightlife bulletin. Do you see it? If you brought it over, we'll flash it up on the screen. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. This is at the very beginning of his ministry. And he found this guy named Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me," which is a typical calling. This is always the way that Jesus calls his disciple. It's not, "Would you please consider?" It's like, okay, now come on. If you're going to be a believer in Jesus, you need to actually move your feet. And Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." In other words, hey, we found the Messiah. Jesus of Nazareth. "Nazareth," says Nathanael. "Can anything good come from there?" Nazareth was this backwoods place. "Come and see," said Philip. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "There is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." Now, a nice little story at the very beginning of the Gospel of John. I like it because it's sort of simple and it's very personal and it's almost innocuous. You know, it almost certainly happened, because you wouldn't invent a story like this just to put in the Gospel, right? It's not interesting enough. It's just a little vignette. But this is the way that Nathanael comes to meet Jesus. And Philip makes the only invitation that makes sense. When he's calling Nathanael to come and meet Jesus, he says, "Come and see." You know, you can't invite anyone to come to Jesus because you like him. You can't tell someone to believe in God because you believe in God. You know, all you can say is, "Come and experience for yourself. Come and see." That's really all you can say. That's how it works. So Philip gets that right. And when Nathanael approaches Jesus, Jesus does this little thing called a prophecy. He says, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." It's not an earth-shaking prophecy, right? It's just Jesus reading the heart of Nathanael. And Nathanael approaches Jesus, and Jesus looks at his heart and says, "There's nothing false in you. You're a good man. You're trying to do good things. You're genuine." All right? You might make mistakes, you might foul up, but you're genuine, you're honest, and you're trying honestly. That's what Jesus says to Nathanael. Not an earth-shaking prophecy, but a good one. A good one. And some of you tonight will probably receive those sort of heart-level prophecies when we minister prophetically, right? Not like, you have to sell everything you have and move to Syria tomorrow. That might be a prophecy for you all too. I'm not saying who, but... Right, but this is a simpler, encouraging one. "You have a good heart, Nate," is what Jesus says. That's what God says to Nathanael. And Nathanael says, "How do you know me? How do you even know that? We've never met." And Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." So Jesus had this other kind of prophecy, which was, "Well, I was here waiting around. I had a vision of you way off in the distance beyond where I could see. And I saw you sitting under a fig tree," right? Right. So it was kind of miraculous vision. And Nathanael's like, "Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God." He flips out over that one. And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you you're under a fig tree? Jeez. You ain't seen nothing yet. You'll see greater things than that. I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man," that is Jesus himself. Nathanael's going to see marvelous things. Often, great revelations start out with small ones first. And I like this story because it shows sort of gradations, levels of prophecy. At first, it's like, "You have a good heart. I see it." And then it's like, "Well, you know, let me give you a little proof. I saw this about you that I had no way of knowing if the Spirit didn't show me." And Nathanael's like, "Wow, that's impressive." And then he makes a prediction about the future. "You will see this. And when you see it, you will know that God had ordained it from before." And that will be very encouraging to you. And that's Nathanael's introduction to the ministry of Jesus. That's not a bad introduction, right? From the get-go, Nathanael understands that the God whom Jesus was serving is a God who speaks. And I think more importantly, a God who knows Nathanael. And the message tonight is that God knows you guys. God knows each one of you, and he's perfectly capable of speaking to you about your life. He's perfectly capable of telling you something that's going to encourage you. And he's perfectly capable of not saying anything to you because he wants to exercise your faith or something like that. So the Lord is going to speak a little bit tonight. We just like to give him an opportunity. Instead of doing healing ministry, we're just going to invite the Lord to speak. So I'd like to invite forward some folks to minister prophetically. And this is how it's going to work. We're going to stand up here and we're going to call you out. And then you're going to stand up. And then the people up here are going to prophesy to you that with the help of the Holy Spirit, they're going to say things to you. And maybe it's going to be like, you have a good heart. I see through means of the Holy Spirit that you have a good heart. All right? And take that for what it's worth. You know, that's from the Lord. Or it may be, this is what the Lord's going to do with you in the future. Or it may be, these are the gifts you have or something like that. I have some tips for you guys who are receiving the prophetic words. All right? Tips for receiving prophetic words well. Number one. If it doesn't fit, throw it in the wastebasket on the way out. Because we're not perfect, and if you don't find it helpful, chuck it. You're the judge of whether it's helpful or not, okay? Or as a mentor of mine used to say, chew the meat and spit out the bones. Not a phrase I like as a vegetarian, but nevertheless, it applies. Right? If I say something to you and half of it makes sense and feels edifying to you and the other half doesn't, spit out the half that doesn't, right? Because I screw it up sometimes, and I might not hear super right from God, or I might misinterpret a symbol or something in a vision the Lord gives me. So chew the meat, spit out the bones. Number two, realize that you might understand the word that we're giving better than we do, right? Because often the Lord speaks in riddles. And if I say to you, I see a brown leather jacket, and it's hanging in your closet, and I sense that it represents a legacy from your father to you, and that the Lord wants you to know that your father gave you good things in the way of teaching gifts or something like that, right? And then you might know for a fact that you have a brown leather jacket hanging in your closet that's from the Lord, right? You might understand that even better than I do if I'm giving the word. So run with it. You might be able to make more of it than we do. Thirdly, you know a prophecy is true if it is proven true. If I say the Cubs are going to win the World Series this year, you will know if I'm a prophet if the Cubs win the World Series this year. And if the Cubs win the World Series this year, sell everything you have, climb up in the mountain because Jesus is coming back. That's the end of the world right there. If that happens, we know. We know the Lord is close. Number four, hold prophecies lightly. If I tell you to go be a missionary in the Congo, wait until six other people confirm it, right? Or wait until the Lord speaks to you directly about it. Hold it lightly. Don't get all tense if I say something crazy or if someone else does. Fifth, God has a knack for telling us exactly what's going to happen in such a way that when it happens, we're totally surprised. You get that? God has a knack of telling us exactly what's going to happen in such a way that when it happens, we're totally surprised. Most prophesied event in all of Scripture was the coming of Christ. When Christ came, nobody got it. Nobody recognized him for who he was, except some foreigners that came from another country to give him gifts. So, you know, I may give you a prophecy tonight, and you may think that you understand it, and then you'll go through a phase where we're sure that it's false, and then 3 years from now it will come true, and you'll say, ah, now it makes complete sense. That's kind of the life cycle of big prophecies. Just so you know, that's the way it works for predictive prophecies, typically. Faith is required. And finally, my last tip for receiving a prophecy, check out a small group. We have these things, small groups. During the week, you should get involved with one if you're not already. What does that have to do with hearing from the Lord? It's because hearing from the Lord takes practice and discipline and a lot of help from your friends. And a large part of what we do in small groups is listening for the voice of God to help us direct our lives. Right? And you're not going to get very far with prophecy, no matter how wonderful our prophecies are tonight, unless you start doing it, receiving it, practicing it, working it out in the company of friends. And really, that's a fundamental reality of how these things work. So come on up, prophetic ministers, and let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come. And then we'll do some ministry. Any of the regulars, if you feel you have a word, you can give it at any time. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to fall in this place. You are the God who speaks. You're the God who sees. You are the God who knows. And you are the God who speaks to us. And I pray that you would speak tonight and that you would deliver some words, whether they be humble or impressive, that change lives and change our 2006 in ways that it needs to be changed, Lord. I pray that you would supply vision. I pray that you would release faith. And I pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. All right, let's start. Shall I call first? Fair is fair. I want Tina to stand up, please. She's visiting. You don't know her that well. I just hear the Lord speak the word climber over you. That you're a lot of climber. I know that in life you've had to climb over some obstacles and work your way. You're good at the uphill, and the Lord knows that. And that's not just a circumstance of your life. It's actually a gift that you have. And I think the Lord would have you understand it that way. I see you entering a season in which you'll be sort of climbing upward, but you'll actually be making ascent. You'll actually be covering some ground, and you're trailing hooks behind you to bring along the people that you love. I think you'll be gaining perspective that will bring people along with you. I think the perspective that you'll be gaining in life, the promotion that you'll be having will, for instance, bless your kids and your friends that you care about very deeply. I hear in particular. And I think you'll be switching careers. Yeah. What do you do? You're a student. Well, I guess that you can't be a student forever, can you? Although I tried, didn't work out. You'll be, when do you graduate? Yeah. I really kind of see you switching fields, you know, like you won't be doctor sociologist forever, you know, that sort of thing. Like a door will open and the Lord will provide something for you professionally that is different, but it will feel good and it will feel right and it will take you up and it will give you perspective. Right? So don't be afraid if that happens. The Lord is preparing you as a student, and the thing that comes along may feel different, but it's the Lord's path, right? Both are good. Okay, and I also see, I don't know if this is good news or bad news, but like your sister Dawn speaking some wisdom, like the Lord is giving her a message for you. And you all are together uniquely right now, so I don't know, make the most of it. Something that the Lord will be speaking to her for you. All right, anybody want to chime in on Tina? Well, we've got her standing and all embarrassed and stuff. All right, that was just a quickie to start. God bless you. Kelly, you want to take one? Sure does.
This one is the woman in the black next to Marty. What is your name? Mindy. I just feel as though the Lord has really gifted you with a strong gift of hospitality. Like you've already given up a lot of your life to other people and given yourself. And there's just a lightness about you and a gentleness about you. And I think that the next challenge or the next season will be to open up your home to the people, and that will be a big part of your ministry, just centered around your home.
Anybody else have something for Mindy? You go, girl. All right. Go ahead and have a seat. Thank you. Kevin?
Actually, I got a word for Jocelyn. You can stand up. I had an image of vast expanse of ocean, flat, placid, no waves, and a little island with a coconut tree. And if your life of late has been characterized by feelings of just swimming about in the storms of the sea, or like swimming against the rapids in a river, I get the sense that the new year will bring in a new season of like calm, tranquility, where you can kind of catch your breath and just settle into a routine. And knowing that, you know, even if you're out in an expanse of ocean, that God provides like an oasis of land for you to really get up onto and relax, kind of soak in his presence. And with the tree, you know, it's kind of suggests to me that there's life there. So pray that the new year for you will be a time of respite, peace, and really being able to enjoy what God provides for you.
No one else?
Yeah.
Go.
The woman in the Beatles shirt in orange, the gentleman to your right, actually, is it Stephen? Stephen, is this your first time here tonight? Okay. I had a word come to me for you, actually. It goes something like this. May you find the Lord, your dwelling. And may you walk this low road with a simple duty among men and women. And that's just the word I got. And as I try to interpret it for you, I don't know what you do, but I feel like you just have a ferocious analytical spirit, that you're actually a very deep thinker. You're a very gentle person, but you're a very deep thinker. And something, perhaps you've experienced a newfound joy and peace lately that I think is kind of something you're celebrating, that kind of meditating on repeatedly and kind of thinking things through and meditating on that. And I just want to encourage you to perhaps simplify and really rediscover faith for what it's worth. Sometimes you burden yourself, that you're such a, you think things through so much that you actually stress yourself out. And I think a lot of people, you know, it's kind of vague, but I think for you in particular, it may say something. So take it or leave it, but, you have a tremendously gentle spirit about you. And sometimes that's overridden by unmet expectations that nobody knows about except you. You burden yourself often with that. And so with the new year, I just encourage you to rediscover faith, that that be put into action in new and creative ways, whether it's as a father or an uncle. May you not burden yourself, but rather just celebrate with love, you know, all the things that you've been gifted with, and of all things, rather than that, the spirit that constantly deducing, but rather more joyful. So that's the word I have for you.
Yeah. I'll chip in on Stephen while he's standing. I just see the Lord visiting you in an entirely new way, like over the next 6 months. I think that, and I think it's by June your life will be different. I think the Lord will be moving you out of where you are. That taking the ministry you do in life as a believer to just a different place, just like a sea change of difference, you know, and the Lord just opening up in you gifts that you didn't know you had, that you didn't practice. Like you yourself, I think, are prophetically gifted. I think the Lord is, you're gifted at hearing the voice of the Lord. I think you hear him in your dreams. I think that angels attend you, and I think the Lord is going to be totally opening up that for you, like over the next 6 months. And just be blessing the people around you, yeah. Bringing up the people around you. And I see the Lord moving you out in new experiences. It may just cause you to leave where you are. That's kind of how I hear it, all right? And I think that when it happens, it's going to seem dramatic. It's going to seem like really out of left field. But that it will be right to the people around you. And that's one way that you'll know that it's the Lord. And I'm sorry, I forgot your wife's name. Susanna. I think she will know too. That she will know. And that she won't even be alarmed. It will be like, oh, this is God. Yeah, and that's another way that you'll know. You'll be moving in the Spirit with a whole heck of a lot of power. Stuff that you didn't know you could do. 6 months. Check it out. Anyone else?
This is for a woman sitting two seats left of Cookie, if you could touch her. Yeah. You. I have a message of encouragement. I just see this next year coming up being a time for healing. And I saw you as one of those huge, beautiful palm trees that have these big husks that kind of grow up the trunk, and they just spread out super wide. I just saw you growing into that this coming year. God blessing you with more joy to persevere through the storms, to hold you stronger, and build your trunk up solid. And I just wanted to encourage you that you have lots to look forward to. Keep us updated.
Why don't you pray for her healing? You said you spoke something about it. Heal the woman.
Can you tell me your name? Pamela. Holy Spirit, I just thank you so much for the words that you are sharing with Pamela tonight, Lord. And I just pray that in this time of healing, that you would be very real and very near to her, Lord. I pray that you would soak through the emotional and the physical things that are going on with her right now.
Bless you, Lord. And Pamela, I just see that you have a good gift of faith. And you're going to be an agent of healing. Healing is just going to flow to you and through you. I just bless your gift of faith. And there, it's a woman, she's like a row behind you or something. There in the middle with, looks like you're wearing the pendant necklace, a bit of a blue turquoisey type stone. Yeah. Hey, what's your name? Yeah, hey. I just feel like the healing of the Lord is upon you as well. Like, is there like a physical thing that we could pray for that needs healing for you? Well, let's just pray for just the healing of the Lord to be upon you then. I just pray, Lord, that your gift of healing would be on Lisa's life, and that she too would share in it, and that it would flow from her around her fellowship, around her family and friends. And all that we have to bless you with, we give it to you as our community. God bless you. Next.
This is for Quay, during worship time, and just throughout the evening, I've just seen so many visions of you dancing, and it's almost like this reckless abandon, and I just feel as though, and I'm so excited for you, because I feel as though you're just approaching this season of celebration, and there's just so much freedom in your dancing, and I was just so excited for you. I couldn't stop crying during the worship, because it was just really beautiful to see. So I just see yourself throwing yourself to the Lord and just finding tremendous freedom in that.
Word for Jonathan. Yeah. I had an image of you doing the splits.
Why don't you try that now, Jonathan?
doing the splits. It's just an image, but perhaps an upcoming season of increasing your flexibility and God gifting you in new and different ways, kind of increasing your skill set or increasing the tools that you have in your toolbox. So I think, you know, just kind of as a warning to you, it's not without pain, perhaps, that one is able to do the splits. But, you know, with practice and determination and realizing that, you know, when you're able to move, was it, Jordan, in the choice sermon that you talked about dancers or?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a choice to, you know, I'll put it in the spiritual perspective too, you know, follow God and let him bend you and twist you and mold you so that you have that range of motion, you have that ability, but, you know, it endure whatever it is that he gives to you over the, you know, whatever it is, the upcoming months until you have, you know, that ability.
The Lord gives us flexibility. It's hardly ever comfortable. It means he'll be stretching you. God bless. Okay, well, I'll do this fellow. Susie, he's off your right shoulder in the striped polo shirt behind you. That's you, yeah. Hey, how are you? What's your name? Hey, John. I didn't really have anything to say yet. I just really wanted to, you know, prophesy to you, so I had you stand up. I just have the sense of, like, the Lord moving you around in, like different places, different towns even, moving you around, and that in this next season, I just feel like encouraging you to try and be consistent, to try and be disciplined, to be the same person there that you are here. To be the same person out in the field that you are at home. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that makes sense. And that the Lord just wanted me to say that. So as you go out, there's no change in you, right? This is speaking right to a situation in your life, isn't it? And also, relatedly, the Lord has just gifted you with the gift of helps, with the gift of service, that where you go, you're able to plug in to groups, plug into fellowships, just by serving. And when you help out, you know, you won't just be filling a niche. You'll be adding. You'll be making things better than they were. It's sort of a humble thing. But like the Lord is saying that as he moves you around, if you just work on being consistent, sort of true to your virtues, right? And if you are willing just to humbly serve, that in due time, things are going to take off from you. And you'll be getting everything that you want. Right, you'll be getting established in a place, and the Lord will bring a family to you, right? And you'll be getting that too. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. All right. God bless. Unless someone else has a word for him. Thanks. Next.
Alex, can you please stand? This seems to happen quite a bit for me when I'm thinking and looking over people. I seem to pick up on a spirit of repentance, and within you it seemed like you're a man who's seeking forgiveness even now, even tonight. Something deep in your heart that you seem to have burdened yourself with. And I just want to speak forgiveness to your heart right now. In the name of Jesus, whatever it is, you're forgiven. May you not be burdened. May you be loosened by that. In Jesus' name. And I look forward to 2006 for you. Not only for, you know, I know some of the brothers whom you came with whom have wonderful hearts. Ron, I'm just thinking of you now. You got a great heart. And as we talked about the scripture tonight, it kind of came to mind. And I see the same in you. You just got a big, beautiful heart. You seem to be there for a lot of people. You're there for a lot of guys. And I don't know what you do. What do you do? Wow.
A skills trainer at work with special needs kids? Awesome.
Bless your heart. You're there for a lot of people. And you have a real charisma about you. And you seem like you're your own worst critic at times. And so I just speak peace to you that I hope tonight you come away feeling like you've been touched from the Lord, that that would feed itself to those around you. Again, because you have a spirit that's really, really strong, and many people latch on to that. And so you're very much a leader in your own right. And so I just pray that Jesus would fan those gifts into flame. You know, for you, it could be the teaching gifts. I see someone who is of real compassion, real mercy. I think Paul lists those as gifts too. But, you know, there's a lot to choose from. And for you, you just have that sense about you. So bless you in Jesus' name.
Good one. Annie, you've been quiet. You want to share one? Oh, it's okay.
I sense that there are a couple of women who are greatly crushed emotionally, and even company with a physical manifestation. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but I feel that Lord says this. You know, I'm crushed. I was crushed. If anybody who has a lower esteem, and that should be me, I was crushed for you. Allow me to go to your deepest wounds right now. Start with a new day. You know I can heal you. I can touch you. Allow me to heal you.
Why did you just say a short prayer about that, Annie? So the word is that there are a couple of women who have been crushed emotionally so bad you're actually physically sick and injured as a result. So Annie will pray and heal the whole package. So what's happening with her is that she's just feeling some of it prophetically in her body. Right, it's just another way she receives information. Then pray it out, it'll be easier.
Lord, you know who are you talking to and with. I just pray that these women, Lord, you touch their spirit and emotions and their stomach. Lord,
and so she's feeling it in her stomach. That means, yes, stomach problems, that might be the physical manifestation that needs healing, the thing that she's been talking about. So that's you,
Lord.
You're a woman. Just go ahead and place your hand on your stomach.
I ask you, Lord, to touch your hands on these women, Lord. May your blood shed on the cross and wash their wounds, Lord. Cleanse them, Lord. Heal them, Lord. Lord, even send the physical, the angels, the ministry angels around them, and Lord, touch them, Lord. You're so gentle, Lord. I just ask you to touch my sisters in this day. Name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Told you just about 5 or 6 more minutes of this and then have regular ministry time. So that's how it would. Yes, sir. Pretty common, yeah. Sure. Carry the blessing to her. Amen. Yeah. Well, it sounds like the Lord just really interested in ministering to women in that situation tonight. So when we adjourn for prayer, if that's you, I just encourage you to come up and receive from some of the prayer ministers. Hey, let's have some of the swimmers stand up since they came in. Make them stand up, Kat. Since they're visiting. It's not just you. You brought others, right? There you go. What are your guys' names? Julie, hey. Jill. Lydia. AMJ. Liz. And that's Kat. All right. I don't have any words yet for you, but I figured, you know, you traveled all this way to be here, so I thought we'd make you stand up and poke fun at you or something. Anybody want to jump in on these ladies? We're all the guy swimmers. They're chicken. Wimps. Wimps. All right, they asked for it.
What school are you guys from?
Very prophetic school, very prophetic. Now there are too many of you to concentrate on. Who wants a prophetic word? Raise your hand. All right. MJ, you stand up. The others can sit down for the time being. All right. Yeah, you have a gift with kids and a heart for them. I see that right off. And started like with your family. You have a big family? Just one sister. But I just see you like having loved kids for a long time. So, you know, wherever that comes from, that's how I see it. And, you know, I just see the Lord blessing that with fruitfulness and bringing knowledge to it. I see like a big book coming to that. The Lord giving your heart skill training, sort of. I see that going on in your life. And he's given you, I see two keys coming into your life. Right now, just to sort of unlock that for you. I think one is some kind of a mentor relationship, sort of a woman who sort of knows what she's about in that world. I see that. And the other one is an ability, a new ability. The other one is funding. Yeah, I see a picture of a can with some money in it, and sort of the Lord making sure that you can do what you want to financially. Yeah, you get it? And both of those things have to do with, like, your work with kids, right? So two keys this year coming to you, yeah? Okay, that was my bit for MJ. We'll do one more swimmer right now. What the heck? Who else wants a prophetic word? Sure, stand on up. And you were Julie. You were Julie. I was close. You're... Wow, I'm prophetic. Okay, you're Jill. Somebody else want to crack a Jill first? No, it's just me again. A dark, spooky tunnel. That's comforting. That's going somewhere. I don't think you quite have the full picture yet, but some sort of passage, yeah. I hear the word seasoning for you, and I think it's a play on like the athletic season. I think the Lord is kind of seasoning you out. I feel like you're a swimmer, yeah. And I don't even know what the swim season is. Are you guys in it? Or, but I think that the Lord is bringing a new kind of season. Like, you know, the Lord, I see him kind of actually moving you away from swimming for new training. And that you have to think of it in terms of seasoning, like in terms of pages turning, of one season coming and another season going, right? And that's okay. That should not be fraught with fear for you. If the Lord does some change or some unfamiliar thing in your life, that's a good seasoning that the Lord is bringing. You can't always be summer for a tree, you know. You have to have winter, you have to have spring and fall as well. In due time, the Lord will turn that clock as he sees fit. But don't worry about it. The Lord brings you new things and changes in your life, making space for other things that he's going to bring. I just see that space. In that space, he brings a new relationship to you. And I'm not saying that he's bringing into your life the man you're going to marry. All right? I'm not saying that. But an important relationship, nonetheless, that you need space for in your life. Somebody that's really going to influence you and you need to get close with. Yeah? You want to chime in, Sonia? Please? I thought you meant the philosopher. Speak real loud, honey. And just sort of riffing off the top, the Lord says, swimming isn't the only thing you're good at. I don't even think it's the only thing you're good at athletically. And there's something about coaching in your future. For Jill?
Yeah.
Well, aren't you the popular one? Many gifts, yeah. More than one thing that you're good at, more than one skill. That seems to relate. Well, I feel like I'm just getting warmed up, but it's 7:30, so we're going to call an official end. And what's going to happen is that the prayer ministry team is going to come forward now. So come on up, guys. Who's speaking? Claudia. Let's do that right after what we call the prayer ministry team, and then you come over and then work that through with us, and then we'll see if we can't deliver it, okay? Uh-huh, sure. You want a time? A couple? Go for it.
Among this group, I got a sense that some of you are actually has, I saw bright stars shining. So I got a sense that Lord has been preparing you for so long that you are ready. I just got a word that you are ready for the cause of the Lord. And tonight I feel a great refreshing anointing among you. And actually God's presence is with us. I know I'm not only one since this. Just be encouraged. Lord has prepared you for such a season. And you're going to be like, and you are like a morning star shining for him. And you know who you are.
Did you start that by saying two stars or stars? What did you say?
No, some of them.
Some of them. Stars shining brightly, and now you're ready to be moved out by the Lord.
Yes,